Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Derek, how quickly will a bad football game get you away from football to go watch another sporting event?
Easily.
Easily? Okay.
If I don't have to cover the team for a certain radio network, I'm out. All right? If I'm not out with friends, or like we're planning on watching a game together, and I'm just by myself, hilariously easy.
All right, this makes me feel a lot better. I'm thinking about Thursday Night Football, Rams, 49ers. The 49ers' entire roster's injured.
I sometimes just don't watch Thursday Night Football knowing it's going to be bad.
Right, and I'm like, I care way more about the baseball right now. I got my wish. I got multiple games going to game or multiple series going to game three. And I'm like, I don't really care what happens with Rams 49ers. I'll check in on it. Don't get me wrong.
That is what
But I'm like, I have zero desire to watch that game.
Tonight?
Zero desire.
Tonight, that's what Twitter's for.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get my highlights from Twitter. I'll get my no-look pass from Stafford on Twitter.
I don't ever want to be accused of being a liar. Yeah, that's what Twitter's for tonight.
Puka Nacua hitting 15 catches again or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, that'll just be Joe texting me.
Yeah.
But he's doing his...
I have been locked into the baseball. Like last night, Yankees-Red Sox, I was making dinner for me and my girlfriend, and the TV's off to the side. I can't really see it from the kitchen. And I had to repeatedly kind of do like laps just to see real quick like what was going on. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I want to see what's happening.
In my continuance,
it's close.
In my continuance to not lie to you, I am the idiot that watched the Sabres preseason game more than the Yankees.
That's okay. I have, like you said, like with covering the team, that's fine. I was just so locked in to Yankees, Red Sox. I loved the baseball yesterday. Guardians, Tigers was real close up until the eighth when the Guardians just went off on a run. I think they scored 5 runs in the eighth.
Yeah.
Padres, Cubs was a little close. I mean, it kind of stayed close even to the end. Padres won that 3-0. And then, yeah, Yankees, Red Sox. I feel bad. I didn't watch a second of Dodgers, Reds. I just had really no desire. I wasn't on the Cincinnati Reds. I know there are a few people that were. I never really thought they had much of a shot against the Dodgers. I know, at least from what I've read, the Dodgers bullpen is a little shaky, but I'm like, yeah. Their talent, though, is ridiculous. We're going to have to wait probably till the NLDS or the NLCS to really see them get challenged. They're playing the Phillies, though, starting this weekend. But I've loved the baseball, and tonight it continues. And I do say tonight because we don't have those 1 p.m. start times now.
We got Guardians, a slight bump back.
Yeah, Tigers, Guardians at 3, Padres, Cubs at 5, and then at 8 is Yankees, Red Sox. Baseball should be great today. We'll talk with Sal coming up at 11 as well, get his thoughts. I mean, the season's still alive, baby. Still
it's gotta
there.
It's got to be tough for Padres fans.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, what is that? What would that be then for them? Two-ish? One-ish?
Probably two or one-ish. But also, Cleveland and Detroit have been dealing with that for the last 2 days anyway.
Right.
So I guess I don't feel as bad. Wait, what were their start times? Yes.
Well, Cleveland Guardians, they are Cleveland and Tigers. They were the 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Padres Cubs usually was the 3 o'clock game.
Oh my God! So you're looking at 11 a.m. baseball for Padres fans the last 2 days?
Yeah, it's tough.
So today is actually really good respite.
Actually, today's actually better for them.
I get to watch baseball at a normal time.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Week 5, though, does get underway tonight in the NFL. We have mentioned it. Thursday Night Football. You can listen to that right here on WGR starting at about 7:30 with the pregame between the Rams and the 49ers. San Francisco, a ton of injuries, most notably two of their top receivers, Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, and of course quarterback Brock Purdy. Mac Jones will get the start. For the Bills, speaking of injuries, much better news from yesterday. Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, all returning to practice for the first time in a while, I think from Ed Oliver. I saw this from Matt Perino, who's a friend of the show and friend of the station. First time Oliver practiced since September 10th. We'll see if that means he's going to play this week. I know I was listening with Sal earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Mm-hmm. Kind of mentioned he's probably the most questionable of the three to maybe be able to play. But it's a good sign he's limited to start the week.
Right.
And at least a really good sign that even if he doesn't play this week, next week is – you imagine you'd see just full practice, full practice, full practice, and he's up.
And at minimum, I'm talking the bare minimum, at minimum you're going to get these players after the bye week.
Mm-hmm. Jackson Hawes was a late addition to the injury report. Everyone else on this was previously notified from head coach Sean McDermott with the media. Jackson Hawes, though, appears to pick up an ankle. He was limited as well. And then just one player not practicing, that being linebacker Dorian Williams with a knee injury. Didn't sound like there was anything crazy to that. Don't know. We'll touch base with Sal on Dorian Williams and the rest of the injuries as well. But for, you know, looking around the league, Derek, at how many other injuries are just riddling teams. We talk about Baltimore and kind of how lost their season already feels a month in. They've got the Texans and the Rams coming up next. It could be Cooper Rush for these next two games. I know Lamar Jackson did not practice yesterday, but there is still sort of this rumbling feeling that he's going to try to play, try to fight through it, what have you. We'll see if that happens. I mean, if they go 1-5 due to these injuries, you've already seen that a little bit with the Chiefs, with the Xavier Worthy stuff, the Chargers losing both their tackles, at least for a little while. Joe Alt will be coming back this year from the high ankle sprain. Rashad Slater will not. It's just, it seems to be just ravaging everybody. And I do wonder, I saw Pete Prisco of CBS Sports mentioning this too, of just, how much is not playing in the preseason and training camps ultimately being less intense
right
than they were 15, 20 years ago? I don't have the numbers on this. I think it's just an interesting thought of how much is that playing into now a lot more soft tissue injuries, a lot more, you know, just long-term injuries for these guys. I don't know how much it plays into it, especially with all the sports science going around. I feel like a lot of these people would kind of be at the forefront of, like, actually they need to get more playing time. But I don't know.
I was going to go on the opposite of, and it just has to do with it. My sense is it's just because these players are getting bigger and faster, and the soft tissue is still soft tissue.
Mm-hmm.
If you overexert it, it's going to strain or sprain or tear. And no amount of working out muscle building will save you from that disaster, I guess, so to say, if you're playing a physical sport like this. That's just what it is. You have players running faster than they ever could. Jeremy and Joe were talking about it with the quarterback runs.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan hit 19 miles an hour.
Matt Ryan, of all people?
Matt Ryan.
And it was at the end of his career. It wasn't even when he was 25.
Right. It just goes to my point of bigger, faster, stronger. And it's something that the best projections still cannot pin down. And that is because the human body is not used to moving like this. On average. But it is interesting you bring up the injury luck thing. Because for years, we've heard about like how all the Bills have terrible luck with injuries. Now, there's not many years that you see the Bills have a DNP list of like five or more players on it for more than a couple weeks at a time. Baltimore is dealing with that right now.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco deals with it almost on a yearly basis.
It feels like every year for them.
Like seasons are ruined by injury, and the Bills have not had that. It helps that the one player avoids injury at all costs, it looks like. But that is me knocking on wood. But it is still this thing of, no, it is this, just the timing of it, but also, I don't know, maybe it is the Bills' scheme against certain teams that doesn't work in a proper way, for example. Or that the Chiefs decide that they really spite the city of Buffalo for some reason and just give us the best game that they can play all year in the playoffs every time. Could be that, too.
We hope. You hope.
I mean, I don't. I would actually feel deeply attacked on a personal level by that, and I would be like, who the hell are you, Kansas City?
I mean, when you're going to be one of the great teams, you're going to get everyone's best punch. I feel that way this week. Like, New England is going to want to prove something. Sunday Night Football, Stephon Diggs, yes, is coming back, and that's going to be its own storyline, but Drake May is going to want to prove something.
I will say that this is... We've got a... I don't want to say a problem here in this area, but we definitely still have this adjustment that needs to be made of... The Bills either get a sweep pick or a near sweep pick. It's like not out of 10, for example. And too many fans still go, oh, no. Are you going to do this every game this year? Because up until the start of week one, the Bills were favored in every game.
Well, I mean, personally, like I heard from a lot of people that hated that. That they were favored in every game and that they were one of the favorites. And
welcome to welcome to dealing with a good football team. This is going to be the norm. Get used to it is kind of what I want to say on that. Stop living in the fears that they're going to Jacksonville this with Urban Meyer.
Yeah, you're not dealing with a poverty franchise, you know?
Yeah, you're not. You're not. It's... Ready? It's not the Sabres. Expect this team to win. And even though New England's going to be punchy, New England is going to be difficult. I'd even say more than punchy. North of punchy. I like how Chris said that about the Saints with Plucky. I'm going with north of punchy. So this game might actually be a pain in the butt. But I still expect them to win. It might only be by one score. It might be a bunch of people around the country saying, oh, Bills are fraudulent. Look at who they've played and they have a 5-0 record, blah, blah, blah. I still also expect them to be 5-0. Am I going to be wrong one of these times? Yeah, the NFL. And in the NFL, any given Sunday, things happen.
Bills are 8.5-point favorites.
2-score favorites, again. Tell me this isn't going to end the same way. Frustrating you for 3 quarters. And in the 4th quarter, the Bills play their best football. Probably get bailed out by... Oh, Cameron Johnson's not there to take the bullet this time.
I have heard from a few people. I mean, we took a call, too, about, like, how lucky it's been. But, like, we had a caller call in the afternoon show mentioning, you know, the bet board. And, like, we should put a bet down of, like, will the Bills get lucky with another roughing the punter penalty in the 4th quarter?
And
they've had it 2 times already this year.
And ready?
It has happened twice.
That's the benefit of playing inconsistent or bad teams. They make mistakes like this. The Bills are again playing an inconsistent team. I'm not guaranteeing that there's going to be some sort of mistake that has this happen be like the roughing the kicker penalty sort of thing. But it might be a Ramondre Stevenson fumble. It might be a Drake May pick.
Well, like that's the thing too. Like they play great defense against the Steelers, but they have 5 turnovers.
Yeah.
2 of which are in the red zone.
They allowed 14 points off of 5 turnovers. That's a great performance by their defense, but they lose. Because turnover number 5 does them in. That's a disgusting statement to say, by the way. It's turnover 5 that finally does them in. But that's the thing about inconsistent teams. I don't know what version of the Patriots you're even getting on Sunday. Their highs have been high, but their lows have been low.
I think that's maybe why I'm excited for this game more than the previous 3. Baltimore, I was excited for. It was week one. The season's getting underway.
It's a good competitor.
Yeah,
it's...
great team. And it might decide kind of like the feelings of the season, right? There was an excitement level to that.
And it turned into a top 5 game of the year probably for the season. I don't know, actually. We've gotten
We've gotten some pretty good ones actually since.
Dallas has decided, hey, we're America's team because we're going to give everyone heart attacks.
They're going to be good games every week. But I like the Patriots matchup mainly because they were the team in the AFC East outside of the Bills, who, as we mentioned, they were favored in every single game coming into the season. Almost unanimous picks to win the AFC East pretty comfortably. But the Patriots, over the other three organizations, or the other two, excuse me, in the AFC East, they were picked to be the fun team, the interesting team, the team to hedge your bets with and go, hey, they're coming. And so far, they're 2-2. They're incredibly flawed. They're very inconsistent. And yet, they are 2-2. They are able to win games. They seem to have their coach and quarterback situation figured out for the long term. Vrabel, you know, X and O's maybe isn't his greatest thing, but in terms of building a culture, in terms of building a very difficult team to beat, there's very few better. Those Tennessee teams were not more talented than most in the NFL. But he had Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and a bunch of dudes willing to go to war. He had Ryan Tannehill playing up to a point, or well, him, Arthur Smith, and you know the group, had Ryan Tannehill playing close to peak Patrick Mahomes level. He was compared in that first year and a half with the Titans to what Mahomes is doing. And so I'm excited to see what there is for the Patriots. If there is still a big difference between the Patriots and the Bills. Because we've talked about it. The Jets are washed away. It's 4 weeks in, but they look lost. And Aaron Glenn in Miami on Monday night looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but there. They don't have a ton of talent. It really is Garrett Wilson and a bunch of guys. I watched Sauce Gardner get cooked by Darren Waller, who was previously a rapper like 2 months ago. And a week and a half ago, you had Dolphins fans talking about if he was a real person or not because they didn't know if he'd actually be playing or not. And then on that, the Dolphins look like they are just trying to wrap this season up. Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer will get fired. They can move on. They can figure things out. And they'll talk in 2026. The Patriots are that one team that might be a curiosity going forward. And I want to see what they look like. I want to see what this lack of a rushing attack for them is against the Bills' seemingly really bad rush defense. I want to see if that's going to continue or if the Patriots are the ones that fall short there. I want to see if Drake May actually has something here. And it's not just, you know, pretty good, but he's more, you know, piling up yards because they can't run the ball. And even still, I mean, Sal brought it up too in this Carolina win they had where they, you know, 42-13. Carolina outgains them in most categories.
And it's in total just, yards, yeah.
It's just takeaways and then special teams plays that really, you know, get the Patriots off and running. It's the first game in a little while here where it feels like we can learn something about this Bills team. Whether it be certain guys are coming back, Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, maybe Ed Oliver, we'll see. But also, it's a team that is maybe going to be punching fairly soon in your weight class. Maybe. It's a strong maybe, but the Saints are another one. I didn't bring them up.
They're at least a step up from competition.
But yeah, like the Saints are kind of an after effect. And even still, like they were able to do fairly well on defense against you. Their rookie safety, I'm blanking on his name, but he looked great.
Jonas Anker.
He had a pick on Allen in the play prior. He had a pass defense. So, I mean, they had some good players, but still it looked like they were outclassed. That when the game got tight, the Bills just didn't make mistakes. And they were able to kind of eventually just wear them down. Really excited to see what James Cook does against this run defense. That has been the calling card right now to start this season for the Patriots. They don't let anyone run the ball on them. Cook, though, going back to Jeremy and Joe's conversation this morning, might be the most exciting running back to watch right now in football. Like him, Bijan, and Bucky Irving?
Probably. Jonathan Taylor should be getting
Taylor should probably get his flowers as well.
He's only leading the league in rushing.
But, you know, to that point, though, James Cook is second.
Yeah.
Let's see what they've still got there. And is this another game where we're all sitting here going, let's see if they unleash the passing attack, or is it just going to be the fourth quarter against the Ravens and that's what we're going to hang our hat on? For me, I saw when they needed to turn it on, they can turn it on. I don't necessarily need to see it every week. I do want to, don't get me wrong, but I also just kind of want to see them stack wins, especially in an AFC that is maybe going to have a down year this year.
I've also seen them do it in the fourth quarter of three of these games. That Kincaid dagger has to happen. It comes with the Allen run the play before. Like, yeah, no, they let the MVP out of the box in the fourth quarter if they need to, the Jets game notwithstanding. And against Miami, same thing. There's the roughing the kicker call. The Bills go ahead and correct it. How do they do it? Well, they get down the field with Allen. So it does seem like, hey, when we need them, we'll let you know. But right now, until we need them, we're not going to go ahead and do too much here and put too much out there. We might want to keep Keon Coleman a little bit more of a secret. We might want to keep the things that we can do with our tight ends.
Well, it was the caller's point yesterday of like wanting to see more guys schemed open. And look, I don't necessarily disagree, but also it's September. I don't want the Bills to be putting a ton of stuff on tape that Kansas City in a few weeks will go, all right, we've seen that.
Philly putting out the fake tush push.
Right, probably wasn't a great idea.
No, I actually...
Or it might actually be a great idea because now everyone will be worried that it might be coming.
Reverse okay. psychology
Reverse
there.
Psychology, maybe, I don't know.
Not really. What are my 10th and 11th defenders doing on that play? Not getting into the pile of humanity, that's what.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to have my outside players looking for the outside.
Yeah, but then you still need the pile of humanity. Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
Now it's lesser, and they're going to get the 1 yard. I mean, but they may not get a touchdown off of it like they did.
Yeah, but ready? Be there for the time that they try to get too cute. Because otherwise, they're still probably getting it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, did they really need to do it? Nah, not really. They're still probably going to get those yards. They're ultimately fine. But, I don't need to see the trick plays coming. I don't need to see the flea flickers. I like the flea flickers from Chicago. But when you're a good team, you don't usually have to pull that stuff out all the time.
Ben Johnson last year with the Lions, the Jared Goff fake falling down play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you put that out there.
I mean, that was a good team having fun, though.
I feel like that's different.
A wagon. It's not like the Bears this year. But
Even against Washington, they were like, now we're going to throw up Jameson Williams throwing a pass here. Oh, it's picked. Oh, no. Like for them, it actually felt like they did get too cute. And I'm a big defender of Ben Johnson. And even that night, I was a big defender of Ben Johnson. But to a certain extent, maybe went too far there.
And the Bills don't necessarily have to get cute. Joe Brady really doesn't call a lot of trick plays. Because the last time we saw him conduct one, Allen got rocked. And a game that they were trying to make a contest again got away from them. Since then, I haven't seen much of it. The only type of trick play we got was ad-libbed when Amari Cooper pitched it back to Josh Allen, who's a psychopath.
Still a fun play.
It's still a fun play. Quarterback just can't be trusted.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Thoughts on the Patriots this week? Are you a little bit more worried for the Patriots than maybe in years past? We'll talk to Sal Capaccio coming up at 11. Also had some Sabres news from last night. We'll get to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen leaving after one period of lower body injury and appears to be the same one he had been dealing with for much of camp. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like it's the same. Like, I always feel like they always have a good defense. You know, people kind of, you know, say this, that, and the third about them, but I've watched them and I've been a part of that team for a while. And, you know, seeing them, they're sound. They're going to fly around and, you know, they got guys on the back end that are extremely smart. They keep some active corners, like some guys that like to play aggressive, some guys that don't. And that interior, you know, Ed Oliver is a game record if you let him. You know what I'm saying? So, and you got some guys on the on the ends. Like, they just always had a good team, and it's a really good coach team. You know, shout out to Sean McDermott. So for me, I don't think it's nothing new as far as like this year. You know, they're going to be coached well. It's going to be a test for us. I look forward to it.
Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs, formerly, of course, of the Bills. Give a little credit to the defense, a unit that has been very much criticized by Bills fans, Bills media. I think rightfully.
A former Bills player being diplomatic about the Buffalo Bills.
Very, very diplomatic.
They're more at 11.
Ed Oliver may not have been playing this game. He's like, nice game record, man. It's game record. Hasn't played in 3 weeks, but he's a game record.
I mean, that is also not wrong because Ed Oliver still tied for the team lead in tackles for loss after playing one football game.
You a little worried, real quick on him. I've thought about this because right before the season started, yep. I had mentioned I thought Greg Rousseau was going to be the one that really took advantage of Bosa being here, the new additions to the defensive to the interior defensive line, and what have you. I thought he would be poised for a breakout year.
Yep.
Through four games, the opposite has been true. He is on pace for his worst year. Sacks, Mike Schoepf said this yesterday, and I agree. Sacks are, for the most part, a QB stat. And the teams the Bills have played have been really upfront about getting the ball out quick, running up to the line and getting the ball going quick, and trying to put the Bills on the back foot early. With that being said, though, Rousseau's maybe best attribute is he's a very good run defender. That is really not shown to be the case. He's not getting gashed like Joey Bosa is, where it seems like every time it's a big run, you're like, oh, there he is. Okay.
Loving
the pass rush, but there he is.
Bosa setting the edge is a little different than Rousseau setting it.
Right. We haven't really seen it from Rousseau. And kind of to all that, and really I guess this is Rousseau as a player. He's very inconsistent. Talented, but very inconsistent. Because we mentioned it, and this is a few months ago now, his game against Arizona, the opener last year.
He has 3 sacks.
He gets a ton of his production in that first game. He then goes off kind of for a little while of not really doing much at all. I think for like the next 5 or 6 weeks, he doesn't even have a sack. He gets going then towards the end of the year. He's one of your better pass rushers. However, it kind of all falls apart in the AFC Championship. I get a little worried that another talented but inconsistent player in Ed Oliver will have the one great game against Baltimore where you're like, without him, Josh Allen plays great. I don't think you're coming back. Like, he just has a ton of nice stats in the fourth quarter, but they don't win. Ed Oliver's focal point. He is instrumental in that comeback. I have started to get a little worried that I'm like, is it just going to be the Rousseau-Arizona game where he comes back and you're like, there's the Ed Oliver we've all had issues with for years.
I think there is one way to try to talk you down from that. And that is that we have seen Ed Oliver have a star season before. Greg Rousseau has always been on the cusp of things. Never had a star output season for his position. We have seen it from Ed Oliver. So, there's my saving grace. Also because Daquan Jones is playing some of his best football next to Ed Oliver that year. If Deion Walker's playing that kind of football, or if Daquan Jones has kind of found some of the magic again, hey, I can easily see Ed Oliver coming back into the game and wrecking stuff like he did in week one. And that's good to see. Maybe it's just Ed getting the consistency issues fixed up for himself. Maybe it's Ed just had a really tough time last year. I don't know which.
Yeah, because like to equal measures, Greg Rousseau being dominant in that Arizona game. I mean, I remember doing the show last year with Josh Schmidt, and we were both, after week one, going, yeah, Ed's a non-factor. I don't know what happened. Like, he's being double-teamed, but, like, this is not – he's kind of a non-factor for all of that game. And sadly, it did continue for much of the season.
I will say.
Up until late.
You mentioned the double-teams. Deion Walker having the size that he does presents an interesting problem for teams.
Mm-hmm.
You have to double Deion Walker, or you're doubling Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Because he's more penetrative. So, that's going to be the next step to Deion Walker in his campaign for a rookie season right now. If Ed Oliver's on the field and you're not getting double teamed, can you beat that single? Please do.
Please do.
And, if an offensive line and run scheme dares to single team Ed Oliver right now, I'm imagining that we're going to have some fun with that.
I mean, that's the hope, and that's where, you know, the cavalry coming, you know, quote unquote, the cavalry coming back. You'll get Hoyt, Ogunjobi, guys getting healthier. We're already starting to see that from yesterday with the limited returns to practice. That's the hope, is that all of a sudden now they've got
their full complement.
They've got, you know, pieces to play with, and that, you know, looking, we'll look back on this season or later on in the season, in November, whatever, we'll look back at this month and go, yeah, I mean, they just didn't have Hoyt. You know, Oliver was hurt. That's what really hurt him in the run game. Or, you know, they, you know, Bosa was still trying to come back, what have you. Or I know I've seen the reports, although he's not receiving treatment, so I kind of don't love bringing it up because I think it really gets to an excuse level. But Greg Rousseau might be in with a bone bruise.
I have to say, yeah, if you're not getting treatment, if you're not on the injury report, then it's not what I would call a validated excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but that's the cruel world that we live in. For me, it still comes down to there is a way to beat Ed Oliver. And it often is he's quick to get off the snap, and you can trap him. He gets too far upfield, the Kyle Williams effect
mm-hmm.
that we'd seen during the drought era where Williams is bursting into a backfield, but then, oh, just create your blocking schemes to be cutback and zone-based so that when Kyle Williams is already 2 yards in the backfield, the rest of the defense hasn't caught up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens with Ed Oliver. Oliver will get quick into a backfield, you trap him, and he's erased from the play. And it turns into a massive B-gap issue where Oliver's already up the field. They're going to attack the B-gap because he's already up the field. I can then make my blockers attack the linebackers, cut back lane, and there we go. I don't think he'll be in for this game against the Patriots, but I'm very excited to see when he comes back.
Yeah, when they do get him back at full go.
At minimum, poor Carolina. What did they do to deserve this?
I mean, even Atlanta. Atlanta might be the team also that deals with that.
But I'm saying at minimum.
At minimum, yeah.
Because he's starting to practice now, and if he goes through the bye week and he's ready for Carolina, oh, and Hoyt and Ogunjobi are activated by then? What did the Panthers do to deserve this?
Right, because then you can just kind of throw the kitchen sink, get guys reps. I mean, look what they did with Cole Bishop, though, in terms yeah. of getting him reps. I mean, it's worked out really well so far. 803-0550, the number to call. Did throw up on Twitter. What are your nerve levels for the Patriots this Sunday? Richard tweets in, honestly, it does depend on how the Bills play. If it's last week's team that shows up, they're losing. I don't really disagree with that. Like, we've mentioned a lot, and Derek, you've kind of coined the phrase, like, their C game or the C-plus game. That can't keep showing up. If it does keep showing up, eventually you will get a team who maybe has a better quarterback, like Drake May, who can take advantage of your shortcomings. I don't disagree. Yeah, if it's last week's team, maybe not losing, but it all of a sudden gets to a point of, yeah, but in the fourth quarter, Allen's got to make a freak play and stuff like that.
And that's where I don't necessarily agree with the take either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily straight up saying it's wrong, but I also have to look at the Patriots and go, they don't give you the same game every week either.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a guarantee to come out with their best stuff. They could put up their week one effort against the Raiders where they don't score 14 points against the Vegas defense, or they get so turnover happy that they lose a game to the Steelers. What team capitalizes on mistakes more than anyone, even on their C game? It's the Bills. Be it a roughing the kicker mm-hmm. or an ill-timed interception or a weird play call at the red zone threatening to take the lead before halftime when the run game was doing just fine. If New England makes a mistake like that, the Bills take advantage. Or, ready? An ill-timed fumble in the fourth quarter during a frantic comeback attempt. The Bills take advantage of your mistakes. New England is 2-2 because they make mistakes.
They do make a ton. Yeah.
And the Bills, outside of Josh Allen just trying to get them out of their own back of the field, and nothing's working, so he sends a deep ball, and Sanker makes the interception. It's the first real mistake that Allen's made, and it was also forced. But But the Bills also do not allow a touchdown on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
So as inconsistent as the defense has been, they show up at opportune times too.
At least in the regular season.
When we are watching it, mm-hmm. and it's hell itself in the yep. first quarter of that game against New Orleans, the offense then stalls and the defense shows up. So could they have pulled away in that game? Yes, because the defense started showing up and started making some stops when they needed to, quite frankly. It was tough to watch, but they did it. And I think that's the same thing against New England here. If New England cannot throw or cannot run the football effectively, even against Buffalo, well, let's see what that number one ranked passing defense really means.
Right. Does it actually hold water or not?
Does it hold water mm-hmm. because they're good at it, or does it hold water because teams just run the football on them?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Chris is up first this segment. Chris, how are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I think this is probably the scariest game for me after the Baltimore game. Mm-hmm. I just feel like with Miami and the Saints, they seemed a little too casual. I know they got the firepower. I know they don't come out on purpose as casual, but I just see this on the road. If the Bills don't bring their A game, this could be one of those upset games. So, and I don't understand why Ed Oliver's not back. Like, really, like, stepping on a foot, unless he broke the top of his foot, like a bone bruise shouldn't take.
Well, I mean, he was limping. It probably could be a sprain or something like that. I mean, he has been limping for a few weeks here.
Yeah. Who stepped on his foot, though? Like, was it Shakir? Like, if it's
Shakir, we have no idea.
We will never know.
We have no idea. I mean, they did make jokes yesterday with the media because the rumor there for a little while is that a horse stepped on him, which I thought was hysterical if that actually happened. But no, we're probably not going to know. But he did get his foot stepped on, and he was limping for a few weeks here. He still kind of is. I mean, that's where Sal mentioned with the morning guys that he's limited, but he's the most questionable of the three guys that all returned to practice.
Yeah. All right. Maybe if it's Spencer Brown on with cleats, yeah, that would hurt, I guess.
That one would hurt.
So yeah.
6'7", 320, yeah. It's gonna hurt. Chris, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, we're never gonna find out who did that.
We're never gonna find out. I enjoyed though that they had a little bit of a laugh about it. I hope, and again, we'll never know. I need it to be a horse though.
No.
Only because I want him to have to go on into work and them going, Ed, we've talked about this.
No.
Ed, we've talked about this.
That's the thing. I don't want passions stripped from people just because a horse got clumsy.
It's Ed Oliver. That passion's never going away.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just going to sit there and go, dude, come on.
Ready? I don't want that to even be called into question. No, I hope that it wasn't a horse because, A, it would make sense that he's out for that long, mm-hmm. but also, B, no, my theory is Taylor Rapp. Anyway.
My theory. Because your theory with Rapp is that just he's involved of like any friendly fire things on the field. Nine happens to be there every time. I feel bad for Rapp.
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago, Taylor Rapp is a really fun safety
right.
that you love to have. 2025 Taylor Rapp, you look at him and you're just like, just please, please slow down just a little bit.
Friendly fire will not be tolerated.
Taylor Rapp might be Coy Wire, but faster.
Maybe.
There's your drought reference for the day.
803-0550, the number to call. Level of nerves for the Patriots. Love to hear your thoughts. We get to see your tweets as well as your phone calls. And Sal Capaccio coming up at 11 o'clock for more on the Bills' injuries and what to expect for today. Also did mention we got to get to some of that Sabres news. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen leaving last night's game with an injury. Lower body appears to be the same injury he had been dealing with all offseason. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number one continues to roll along here. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We can get and connect to our fans when we do so. It is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go back to the phones here. Jimmy is up next. Jimmy, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking the call. I know you were talking about the edge rushers and Joey Bosa. I know he's not, you know, he's a shadow of his former self when he was in his prime, really. He's still a good player, and he's not as twitchy as he was, you know, when he first came out. But that strip that he had at the end of the game on Spencer Rattler, I mean, his arms are so long. He reached in there. He stripped the ball. The thing that drove me crazy was AJ Epenesa, and I don't know if you guys talked about this. I'm sorry, I haven't been listening the last couple of days, but him celebrating when he didn't even sack Rattler, and the ball is rolling around on the ground. Bosa had stripped it from Rattler, and he's celebrating like signaling to the bench. Something like, look at me, look what I did, and the ball's rolling around on the ground. That absolutely drove me crazy. The other thing that, you know, I don't worry about the defense as much, but the only thing that really worries me is the safety play. I know Bishop had a great play, but he was out of position. Luckily, and that one Brandon Cooks, when he didn't come up with a catch, Bishop falls down, and Rattler just threw a horrible pass. He was wide open in the end zone. It just seems like he's out of position sometimes. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about the Epenesa thing. And, you know, and I know everybody's calling in about the safeties from the last few weeks, but just wondered what you think about Bishop. Even though he made a great play, I don't know if, you know, if he's all there yet with what he's doing. But thanks, guys. That's all I had.
Yeah, Jimmy, thanks for the call. And, no, you're 100% right. I mean, it's his second year. It's, I think, his sixth total start.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He still has some work to do.
We talked with Sal about that yesterday, and that's 100% correct. He's still getting going. You like to see, though, the confidence building, the big plays coming. He has a sack as well to go along with
the athleticism.
Yeah.
Is showing.
You like that? On the Epenesa thing, that is funny. I kind of had the same feeling. Like, he doesn't know the ball's on the ground.
Yeah,
he has no idea the ball's on the ground.
That is the simple answer for you there, by the way, Jimmy, is that AJ doesn't know the ball's on the ground. He smacked the quarterback on fourth down.
By the way.
And thinks that he has a sack. Like, I totally understand why he thinks he has the sack. He hit the quarterback, and that's his job, and he still thinks the football's there. And either way, it's a fourth down stop. Look at me go. And I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm not as bothered by that. I will say it is the inconsistency from the entirety of the defensive end group that is definitely worth your concern. But yeah, that play, it's just a funny little how it happens sort of thing. Like, he's so focused on doing his job, he doesn't know that the football is out, and that sometimes happens with fumbles. That's why there are sometimes fortunate recoveries. That's why these things happen, because a player's just doing his job. And if he even pauses for a second to see if the football's out, there might be a different story, because then does he think, oh, Joey Bosa's got this, so I'm going to slow up? And then say Bosa doesn't hit the football.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting creamed in the film room for that then.
By the way, real quick on the Bosa gets credit with that sack. Does he now have 3 forced fumbles on the year?
No, Zach. He has tied his second best totals in his career in 4 games. He has 4. He has
awesome.
4.
Good for him.
His career best is 2021, where he forced 7 in 16 games.
Wow.
He's already at 4 in 4 weeks.
Wow.
This trajectory, he's forcing 17. Let's go.
Yeah, he's forcing 17.
He's on pace for 17 forced fumbles, which would be wild. That's not going
to
happen.
If he somehow got to 7 like he did in 21, hell of a year.
If he even gets to 6.
Right.
That's worth the contract that you gave him.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more on the Bills' injuries from yesterday and what to expect from today. Practice starting for the Bills at 11:30. Sal Capaccio will join the show next. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. 11 a.m. on a Thursday. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer along the ride with you here. And now joining us on the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio, as the Bills will get ready for practice at 11:30. Sal, much better morning than yesterday, I must tell you. Much better morning.
Yeah, for sure. That was pretty exciting, intense. Baseball, playoff baseball is great.
I know.
It is.
I was asking Derek right at the top of the show, like, how bad does a football game have to get you to go to another sporting event? And I was so glad he's like, not much. Because I football is my first love. I do want to watch Rams and 49ers. But with how injured the 49ers are and how good the playoff baseball's been, I'm like,
I'll just tell you, I don't.
8 o'clock, I'm going to Red Sox Yankees.
I have zero interest in watching football tonight.
You don't want to watch Mac Jones?
If there's a different game, I mean, if it's game and, you know, you wanted to see and how it impacts the Bills, it might be a little different for a lot of people if you love baseball and dialed into this game. The other thing about it is, though, so I don't know if you guys know, but the game is at 8 tonight. If the Reds had won last night, this game would be at 6 again tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would have kept all the times the same. Like, now everyone's kind of gotten moved back. There's no 1 o'clock game. I do prefer that. The first day, I loved the 1 o'clock starts. Now I'm like, I kind of want there to be a little bit more special feeling. Wait a little bit into the afternoon.
Right.
But it's been so good. And Sal, the stat you had yesterday, it's going to be put to the test today.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, because all three games, three of the four series went to three games. If all four series had gone to three games, we'd be having the same schedule, 1, 3, 6, and 9. But every time they eliminated a game, they kind of pushed one out of the afternoon block and pushed it back. So, I love the 6 o'clock start because, 9 o'clock game's ending. Like, all right, it's only 9 o'clock. That's great. 8 o'clock start is... Yeah, you know what? It's kind of normal, I guess, maybe a little bit later, and then it's just a late night, you know what I mean? But I agree. I'll check in on the football game, and I'll be super dialed into that.
Obviously. Sal, last thing on this, too, for me. How do you feel about the very late night playoff baseball games? Like, I am somebody that loves the mystique, the aura, the romanticism of it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's Yankees Red Sox, and we're in like the 12th inning. Like, a part of me does love that, but it leads into a long night and early morning.
I don't love that at all. Listen, when I was a kid, if I remember right, I could be a little wrong on this. Like, games started at kind of a reasonable hour for us to kind of watch them. I remember, Mets, Red Sox in 86, Cardinals and Twins in 87. I can go through the timeline of the teams and the games and these great series. But then as I got older and TV kind of became the bigger deal and put these games in the primetime windows, it just became – I just don't like the fact that Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, everybody, they start these games – at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Heck, national championship game in basketball, right? It's late.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's all because of TV. And I just think it sucks that younger people, it's tough for them to watch. I get it, why they do it, because West Coast, they're 3 hours behind. You try to fit it in for everybody where you have to be earlier for them, later for you, all those kinds of things. But, yeah, I do not like those late games. I'll, at some point, depending on what game it is, generally, heck, a couple of Monday Night Football games this year. I went to bed and said, I will just find out who won when I get up in the morning.
Well, that's the bonus with the Bills Monday Night game against Atlanta. It's part of that doubleheader.
It's
7:15, baby. 7:15.
I love that. That's great. I love that. Especially for us, we're on the team charter. And, so the way it works is kind of right after the game, you do locker room interviews, and you get, on the bus and to the plane. And Atlanta's going to be, a 2.5-hour flight or so, maybe, I guess, something like that. So the game starts at 7:15, done by 10:15. Still going to get back at 3 in the morning, but as opposed to maybe 4:30.
Oof.
And
still tough.
And that's the thing. It's but that little bit difference. It makes the world a little bit. All right, let's get to the Bills and the Barnes Firm Injury Report, which is brought to you by the Barnes Firm Injured for Help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION-SAL. I think for the most part, good news. Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver all make their returns to practice, albeit in a limited fashion. I did see this from Matt Perino, friend of the show, friend of the station. This was Oliver's first practice since September 10th. And then there were others, some notable ones. Dory Williams did not practice with a knee. And then a bit of a late addition, this was not said when McDermott met with all of you guys, Jackson Hawes, an ankle, was also limited.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from people can see, I have video posted at Sal Sports. You can watch, you know, Matt Milano is attacking a bag and tackling it to the ground. And that's great news for a guy who has a pec injury, right, coming back. So I think he's trending really well. We'll see how it goes for the rest of the week. And if you're going to be without Dorian Williams, it'd be great to get Matt Milano back, obviously. You know, Dorian has done a nice job, but, you know, the Bills are a different defense with Matt Milano on the field, and it'd be great to get him back. Spencer Brown, same thing. He was kind of doing everything. From when I was watching him, I saw that it looked like he was doing pretty well. And, I mean, just indicating from last week that he thought he might be able to go, I think that's looking pretty good. I think Ed's a little different. I think there's a chance he could play, but even the way he sounded after practice seemed like, you know, they're going to try and see what happens this week, how it goes for the next few days. It has been a while. He was limping pretty good on Sunday when he came out, you know, to walk on the sidelines. So we'll see how it goes. He's still a few days here, but limited yesterday and practicing is good, obviously. We'll see. I don't think there's anything necessarily right now to worry about with Jackson Hawes. He was in the locker room yesterday afterwards. You spoke to him briefly. It wasn't about the injury or anything, because we didn't know at the time he was even limited. But he was in there and seemed like nothing was going on. So I think that might just be something where maybe he's got a little something they're dealing with right now.
And speaking on Hawes, Sal, continuing on with him, the snap count from Sunday, he outsnaps both Kincaid and Knox. It does look like the role continues to expand for a player that has become a bit of a favorite, almost a cult following, so to say, for the rookie tight end.
Yeah, I agree. I think people just love his demeanor. They love what he brings to the table as far as toughness and the ability to block, and we've seen that. And then all of a sudden he throws in a game, it seems like it's a pretty big catch. Even last game, he only caught one ball, but it was, you know, I don't know, 20-something yards downfield. He's on the sidelines, making a nice play there. You know, he's a good athlete. And I think, too, learning his personality. If you guys have heard him talk, you've heard him with, you know, other, mm-hmm. you know, being at, he was on One Bills Live and different places like that. He's got this really great personality, and I think he kind of draws people to him. So, yeah, I think all of that is baked into that. And you know, I was listening a few weeks ago to your show here, and somebody called up, and they're like, oh, he should take over Dalton Kincaid. When's that going to happen? And you guys, I think, rightfully said, well, I think more that it would be maybe Dawson Knox more than Dalton Kincaid. But, look, I'm here to tell you, why do you have to even do that? Like, the Bills have what they want right now. They have three tight ends who have these different roles, who have different skill sets. It's exactly what they want. Just because Jackson Hawes is doing a good job doesn't mean he has to take over the job of somebody you have to get rid of. They have a good situation. Now, that being said, of course, you look at Dawson Knox's contract for next year, and those are things you visit down the road. It doesn't have to be right now, and it doesn't have to be at the end of the year where you have to make that decision. You could do other things. I think the Bills would love to have this going forward, love to have these three tight ends. You don't have to have someone just completely replace someone else because he's doing a good job. Maybe part of the reason he's doing a good job is because he's in a perfect role because of the room he's in.
Right, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a good problem to have. And to be fair, Sal, I mean, they're cooking with gas with this three tight end system that they're using. I mean, James Cook is top five in rushing. He's second only to Jonathan Taylor. Right, there's no real reason to change it, and especially you don't want to throw Hawes into a situation he's maybe not ready for. The catch week one is great, but he does almost drop it. I mean, they are still bringing him along in the role that they have with him. Sal, though, speaking of decisions to be made, I don't want to forget about this. In terms of the guys on IR that were eligible to come back, the team has not made any decisions on those players, and that, of course, does include Max Harrison, Tyler Bass, and Tylan Grable.
Yes. I mean, I guess we could say they have made a decision. They're not coming back this week, right? I mean, that's the decision. So, yeah, they know they have a plan for these guys, and they'll see where it goes. But none of them had their practice windows opened yesterday. So, in case people are unaware how it works, because these players were placed on injured reserve, have served their four games on injured reserve, that's the minimum amount, now they are eligible to start practicing again and even playing in games. So the Bills could put them on the practice field at any point, but once they practice, once they practice, the clock starts ticking, and the Bills would have 21 days to put them on the active roster, that person, and make a corresponding roster move. So if you don't put them on the practice field, you don't have to do that. And right now, it's just keep doing what you're doing, rehabbing. And there's a couple different things at play here, right, which is the health of the player, obviously, first and foremost, but also the roster decisions that are looming. And, you know, once you decide to put him on the practice field, roster decisions are going to come a lot quicker for the Bills. And you never hope that injuries are a factor in making those roster decisions with other people. They could. But right now, I think, you know, the Bills can keep these guys doing what they're doing, rehabbing the way they are, and then we'll see where it goes.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the West Her Hotline. Bills Patriots for Sunday Night Football. Sal, one of the big concerns, one of the things that you start hearing about early on in the season with James Cook being second in the league in rushing and really becoming a dominant force here, there has not been a lot of usage for Ty Johnson or, in particular, Ray Davis so far. And I do remember I did see Joe Brady speak a little bit on that matter. Do they want to try to implicate a little bit more balance into their backfield to give Cook a little bit of rest every now and then?
Your guess is as good as mine, Derek. It's a great question because we're all kind of wondering and watching this play out. But at the same time, I don't think there's any rush to take James Cook off the field. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's playing so well. And I think that's part of it, which is James is just so dynamic and so good right now that the Bills love having him on the field. I think, you know, in a full picture type of deal here, you're thinking about it, which is, man, how much do you really want to put on him? You know, you don't want to keep the wear and tear. You want to keep the wear and tear off. But he has this running style where he doesn't usually, knock on wood, take these big shots. He takes care of his body. And so far, so good. And I think there is a role for Ray Davis and especially Ty Johnson and on third down that we are going to see. To me, it feels like it's almost like game planning, where maybe there's a game where it's like, okay, this is going to be the game where we're using Ty Johnson out of the backfield. That was Detroit last year. Remember that game, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Detroit last year. I remember going into that game, and I said, well, I'm probably on the air with you guys, hey, the linebackers for the Lions aren't great at covering. This could be a game where tight ends or running backs could factor. Well, sure enough, when the Bills just attacked them with Ty Johnson out of the backfield, you might get a game like that. And then you start to say, okay, there it is. In the meantime, it's a good question. I don't think it's anything Ty Johnson or Ray Davis are doing wrong. I just think the Bills right now are riding James Cook.
And, you know, Sal, it's really fun to kind of look at this, again, just through the first month. So it's not indicative of what the season will be. But the big player that many Bills fans and us included were looking to for James Cook's contract was Kyren Williams. And the big discrepancy between those two is that Williams kind of never left the field for the Rams. Fast forward to the start of this year, and I know Joe brought this up this morning, that actually hasn't been true. They're having full drives where Blake Corum is the main running back, Kyren Williams on the bench, and then you go to the Bills, who it seemed to be their whole thing was they got all their running backs involved through the first month. Sure, they're still involved, but James Cook is getting the bell cow kind of carries at running back, and it's led to, you know, the top rushing offense in the league through week one, or through the first month, excuse me, and then he's second in the league in rushing, like I mentioned, only behind Jonathan Taylor, who's, you know, well-established as one of the best backs in football.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I didn't know the stats on Kyren Williams. To bring up a good point, like, that's interesting to note, right? Which is, they get paid, I mean, I guess right around the same amount of money total, right? And same contract, don't have it in front of me. And, yeah, a lot of conversation of Kyren Williams and all the things he did. And, well, James Cook, he doesn't play third downs. Well, he's playing more in third down. He's playing more percentage. It is funny how both teams have kind of morphed. But, again, as the season goes on, I'm sure they'll be different for the Rams too, right? I mean, it might be different for the Bills, might be different for the Rams. It's a game-to-game situation. We'll see what Kyren Williams is tonight. And, yeah, give Blake Corum a lot of credit. I'm sure that's part of that is Blake Corum is playing well when he's on the field. So, you know, I mean, a team's job is to do what's best for the team to win. That's the team's job. It doesn't matter how much guys are getting paid. Yeah, you want your superstars, your best players, highest-paid players to, you know, be your best players, I think, in a perfect world. But the team's job is to play who's playing, and it's just the same conversation with Josh Allen. To do what's best for the team to win. It's the same conversation with Josh Allen. Oh, my God, he's not throwing for 300 yards. They're not pushing the ball downfield. And his answer is, we're scoring 31 points a game and winning. Like, isn't that the goal, right? That's the job.
Right, absolutely. Sal, just a few more minutes here, and with practice starting in just a little over 10 minutes, what's the schedule for today and then the rest of the week with Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, 11:30 shortly from now. The Bills will be on the practice field. We'll get another look. We'll see today. We don't hear from Sean McDermott pre-practice on Thursday, so it's honestly just going to be an observance of who's going to be practicing today. Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, Jackson Hawes now, obviously, Dorian Williams, Spencer Brown. So we'll take a look at that. People can follow me on social at Sal Sports on X, and we'll have an update on that. And then tomorrow will be the wrap-up to the week, as they normally do. We will have Sean McDermott on the air tomorrow, probably, just for everybody kind of wondering right now, about a little after 11 o'clock again tomorrow. I'm guessing Sean McDermott, that's not in stone, so it could be earlier. We'll get an injury update and game designations. And then, yeah, Sunday night football, Patriots in town. And it's the Sunday night, it's the rivalry series game with the jerseys. You guys saw the pictures and video with the helmets on yesterday, right? They're wearing at practice. Right, they're wearing them now to get used to them. And it's the last time the Patriots will ever visit the stadium, of course, unless they play in the playoffs, which they did a few years ago in the perfect game. And it, this is this is the team I saw first ever here. My game ever inside this stadium was 1987, Patriots at Bills, a strike-shortened season. It was late November. Bills had to win the last two games. It was only, they shaved off a game of the year because of the strike, so there were only 15 games. Bills had to win the last two games to make the playoffs. And they lost that game 13-7 to the New England Patriots. But that is the first game I ever went to with Patriots Bills.
There you go. All right, Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice, and we'll talk again soon, man. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
That was Sal Camacho there on the Western Hotline. And as you heard, you can follow along with everything from practice, Sal's socials at Sal Sports. Do want to mention this because I did bring up a Blake Corum and Kyren Williams. It's not as aggressive as maybe you'd think, where all of a sudden it's a 50-50 split. But looking back at last year, Kyren Williams' snap count was at 87% in 2024. Through four games, it's at 74%. Still a good chunk. But for Corum, he's now going up, again, just through the first four games, from 11% in 24 to 25% in 25. Still, though, hasn't technically started any of the games, which is unsurprising. For the Bills, though, I'm with Sal. Like, I've been very... I'm okay with it. I'm cool with leaning on your best players. I think it's somewhat of a ridiculous statement to not lean on your best guys. Like, the quarterback is the biggest difference.
Right.
Do I want him throwing the ball 40 times a game? No. But in the fourth quarter, if we need to make a play, yeah, I'm cool going to him.
And the Bills have shown that. They absolutely are getting to. Now, we'll get to him if we need him. And then a couple times over the last couple of weeks, they've needed him. And he's made plays and helped put things away.
But for the Bills' running game, I'm almost less excited. I hate saying this because I like Ray Davis, the guy. I even like the player. But Sal brings up Detroit. And Ty Johnson last year had a number of games where you're like, okay, he's awesome. You can't let him go. He's their third down back. He's the best, quote-unquote, third down back in the league, if you ask Josh Allen. I'm almost more excited to see him get going. Because you even look in the preseason, Derek. I mean, it's the preseason, so it doesn't mean a ton. Ty Johnson was more impressive than Ray Davis.
He looked fresh.
He looked fresh. He looked good. He looked like the guy that, yeah, he's the backup, and that maybe wasn't even necessarily true. But I am curious to see how the Bills get that going. If they really do want to balance the scales a little bit with the run game, or if they're like, hey, it's working. And as Sal pointed out, you know, James Cook is very, very good, and he's very shifty. He doesn't take these monster hits where you're just sitting there going, all right, take him out for a minute here.
Shelton Bulldog did a really good segment about this on Monday of like how Ray Davis last year would be in games consistently, and it's not about like, oh, it's blowouts, hand it to the rookie running back. It was there'd be drives where they had Ray Davis in the game, and that is clearly not happening so far. His numbers are definitely, I think, part of that equation. I do think that his struggles are leading a little bit to he's getting a little bit less attention and a little less carries. I do want to not necessarily dispute Sale on that, but I do look at it and go, could that also be why? And it has to also do with the dominance of James Cook. It probably is a two-factor thing. So, obviously, Ray Davis would probably say the same thing. Like, I'm frustrated because I'm not doing well or something like that. If he's asked that sort of question. I am curious to see if they're able to get things going again, and if so, when.
But right now, it's James Cook's backfield, and
it would feel kind of ridiculous to change it up.
And both Ty Johnson and Ray Davis have to deal with that at the unfortunate level right now.
Yeah, Cook's playing at a level where I think right now, in terms of odds, Cook is top five in offensive player of the year odds. And that would make sense. It's not a quarterback award. Typically, it goes to the receivers, running backs, or what have you. He's been great.
And
he's
ready?
Scoring in every game.
Ready? I've got bad news for anyone that wants a second MVP for Josh Allen.
It would be if James Cook is all of a sudden offensive player of the year or all-pro running back.
If James Cook finishes top three in rushing, you're probably not getting Josh Allen another MVP.
I'm
because
more
it's
than
the
okay
same
with
argument as last year with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Right, and I am more than okay with that. He got his one. He got his. Now it's time for the team
I'm
awards.
Just saying, don't get short-term memory.
Right.
Or convenient short-term memory loss willingly about this. Do not become Ravens fans and forget about the arguments of last year.
803-0550, the number to call. We were talking nerve levels for the Patriots this weekend. We'll get some of your tweets and your calls after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
You know, known through the same agency, got to know him, and you know, we share a lot of the same things. We like playing golf, and you know, just hopefully, you know, he's very down to earth. I like to say I'm down to earth, but no, he's a great, you know, great player. Golly, it's fun watching him. He makes some plays, you know, every week that you're like, man, that's pretty cool. So he's MVP of the league, and sadly to say, it's fun to watch him, but you know, we got to play him on Sunday, so full different mindset.
Patriots quarterback Drake May. Into his sophomore season, it's off to a very good start. What has he got? 7 touchdowns to 2 picks? High completion percentage. He's right around there, I think, with Allen in terms of passer rating, but it's a little bit of an overrated stat.
And yardage.
I hate that Drake May's on the Patriots. I was such a big fan of his sophomore year, I want to say, because the red shirts get a little weird. But I think it was a sophomore year at North Carolina. Not a great team. And yet he threw for over 4,000 yards, 37 touchdowns, and like 5 picks. He was electrifying at North Carolina. Less so of his last year there, but his first year really getting like the full go. He was awesome, and he's continuing that into the NFL. Should be a fun matchup on Sunday Night Football. Also do want to mention that, and I believe this is correct. I looked it up real quick. Sunday Night Football, Josh Allen's record, 8-0. It's not surprising.
It's like the Bills are a good football team plays brightest when the lights are bright.
And so on that, going back to your tweets, 803-0550, if you want to join in on the conversation, your nerve levels for the Patriots this week. Michael tweets in, Josh playing at home in prime time after hearing about the Patriots threatening for the division and how Drake May be better than Josh Allen soon. Patriots are going to get smoked.
That's what I'm here for.
And there is that thing of pro athletes, of they just need the little bit. They'll make things up in their head. But they need that little bit, and they'll just go. I think that's where I can't get behind any of the trap game talk for this game at all. At all. This is a Patriots team that all offseason the Bills would have heard is coming. They're going to at least finish second in the division, but they'll be right there with the – and I said it for the Patriots on their side of things. This will be a game where they could cement themselves as we're coming. We may not win the division this year, but we're going to be a playoff team this year.
We'll be a thorn in your side.
Yeah, Drake May can start to solidify himself as, cool. Jaden Daniels went to the NFC Championship last year in his rookie year. Congratulations to him, but I'm with him. I'm right. I took out the MVP in the league. You heard it in the clip there. He's given a lot of credit to Allen. This would be a game for the Bills to, put their foot down. I mean, I think we've all seen the clip the last few days, but what was it, NBC in Boston?
Yeah.
Years ago during the win game where they're like, oh, the 11th month reign of the Bills is over.
Yeah, that was still one of the worst things I'd ever heard in my life.
But this could be the Bills moment to kind of do the same thing of like, oh, you won the offseason. Good job.
Your two-month ballyhoo to start training camp and the regular season, which I don't know if I want to ever get to like stooping to that low. Mm-hmm. But I do think – similarly to Steve, who tweeted in saying, very low level of worry. The Pats' pass defense is not very good at all. Geno Smith and Tua both had 300-yard games against this defense, and we have the best quarterback in the NFL. The only team beating the Bills on Sunday is the Bills themselves with self-inflicted errors. And the beauty of it is the Bills don't make back-breaking errors.
They don't turn the ball over very much.
They barely take negative plays.
It was a bit of an anomaly. They had a lot of penalties on Sunday against New Orleans. That was a bit of an anomaly. So even then, it's hard to point to that and go, well, see, it's really not the case. Because New Orleans, going into that game, took a lot of penalties and didn't.
I'm looking at that game, though, with vested interest in the right tackle. If Spencer Brown is healthy, I feel a lot better about the Bills offensively. Ryan Vandermark had a tough day sledding against the New Orleans Saints, and I would imagine much of the same for a Patriots defense that has some good pass rushers themselves at this point.
Do want to mention on that, their leading sack getter, Clavon Chaisson, did miss practice yesterday with a knee injury, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on. He's got 2.5 so far through 4 weeks. You're right,
though. The injury's also good, though.
Yeah, but one of the best guys might be down, but they do have some guys, absolutely.
They have some guys, so I would be like, it's not a level of concern, but it would be, that's something to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the status of Spencer Brown
mm-hmm.
when inactives come out on Sunday night, because I know he's probably going to get a questionable tag because he's starting off limited already, unless he goes full practice for the next 2 days.
Which, he could. Oliver's the one for me that I'm just, I'm kind of with Sal on it. And to be perfectly honest, I'm okay again if he misses. I've said it since the start of the season. I care more about what this team looks like in January than I do what they look like in September or the first weekend in October. It's why I'm okay that they maybe aren't as, quote unquote, flashy on offense. Still productive, but the style points really aren't there a ton.
Style points aren't there, but they've scored 30 in every year.
They keep scoring, but I'm okay with it because, yeah, I don't really want them to show all of their best stuff in September. Now, ultimately, it's an entertainment business, right? We want to be entertained. I understand that. I get it. But they're at a point now in their run here. Like I said with the Allen MVP thing, cool, I don't care. I don't care if he doesn't get another MVP in his career.
Right.
Would suck for him. He probably deserves at least 2 or 3, right? The way he's been playing, he deserves to be probably with Lamar on that and Mahomes. But the team needs a Super Bowl, or else this era gets really weird to talk about and uncomfortable. And I don't want this to become a thing in Buffalo where, yeah, you're right, a passage is you get to have this unbelievably fun, like, 10-year period, and you win nothing from it except, like, division titles and a few playoff games, but you win nothing of consequence. I don't want that to be a rite of passage for young Bills fans. I don't want, you know, Sal's son Max to, hey, let's talk about Josh Allen. Doesn't get any championships from it, though, and it just becomes the 90s for his dad. I don't want that for people. You want to have something to hold on to with this era. And so far, to start this year, at least in the AFC, we can talk about the league as a whole, you know, down the line, and how did Philly and Detroit and the Rams look, you know, in November. But so far through September, the AFC, it looks weaker than in years past. Burrow probably is going to be out for the year. If not, he's going to come back for like the last 3 games, and what will that mean?
And everything's on fire based on how Jake Browning's playing.
Lamar, we'll see if he plays this week, but it's a hamstring injury that is projected to maybe cost him 2 to 3 games, and they're already 1-3.
And you're already seeing that, like, even if he plays, he doesn't look fresh. He looks like there might be actually something wrong, and the hamstring makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look like he's got the same pop right now, and it's probably best for him to sit a game or two. But the Ravens are also at 1-3. You can't afford this.
No.
And this is why the Bills just win the games. Win the games that you have up here against a soft underbelly to start the year. Why? Because Baltimore's got to deal with this shredder of a schedule to start the year, their year. Apologize for none of it. Kansas City didn't apologize last year. Neither should you this year. Keep going.
Well, and also, it's going to be a thing, too. In 10 years, no one's going to care who you played to get to the Super Bowl. No one's going to care.
No one's going to care also
in the playoffs if you got through Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers to get there. No one will care.
No one's going to – well – some little gotcha artists will for, like, probably Dolphins fans. But
for what? 2-3 years? And then they go away and it's just, the Bills won in 25.
Yeah.
And you move on.
So the big deal here is, though, you keep winning. Like, hell, until the Super Bowl, nobody cared how the Chiefs were playing because they just kept winning.
Yeah, it was just the assumption of, they're playing like garbage, but they win.
I called it Chiefs devil magic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used red coloring for their water fountains for the AFC championship.
But you know what, though? It's good to bring that up, though, because Philadelphia built up a ton of PR for their defense off the Super Bowl performance. But most of their statistics last year, team-wise, on defense, weren't
that awesome.
They were okay.
It wasn't a group that you thought, oh, they're going to humble the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. In this. That's not what it looked like at all. Jalen Carter was a freak of nature. He was good.
Matter of fact.
But their secondary had to go through some changes as well. They had to move Cooper DeJean around. It did not look as pretty. And even in the playoffs, if it's a little bit better weather against the Rams, they might beat them. No, and they couldn't stop Saquon Barkley for two games that year.
One play on fourth down, they still almost blew it.
Mm-hmm.
And until it actually happened in the Super Bowl, there were not great feelings about the Eagles in that game. It wasn't like it was overwhelming. It was people were just sick of seeing the Chiefs lift the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Oh, yeah, please, Eagles, stop it.
It was the two supervillains playing for the Super Bowl.
Exactly. But nobody thought Philadelphia was this unstoppable force at that point. Like, yeah, you beat down the Commanders, but it had more to say about the Commanders. The Chiefs had to have everything in their power to stop the Bills from stopping them. And it just, until it actually happened in the Super Bowl, what happened? People weren't watching because they thought that the Chiefs were just going to win it again. And the peak viewership came when Philadelphia has a pick six. Cooper DeJean returns that into the end zone, and people are now getting, hang on, they're doing what?
Yeah, the Chiefs are actually getting blown out. What is going on?
I'm here for this. Give me my popcorn. That's where peak viewership shows up. Everybody's flocking to the TV because it's actually happening. The thing that I was afraid of, it's the opposite. So, like you said, the PR thing comes from one game. And until that game happened, everyone was just afraid. Like, oh, Chiefs voodoo is going to show up here again in the Super Bowl. And life sucks, then you die.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much everyone's mentality heading into the Super Bowl. And again, it only until it actually happens is everyone fearful of that. People would complain about it, but had the Chiefs won, it would have turned into the ultimate story of perseverance in a game-by-game basis.
It would have been, they're actually not very good, yet they still got it done.
I would have thrown up, but that's the narrative that shows up.
It. Yeah, nope, I respected it.
I don't care about respect. My tummy is sick.
Just, I'm ill watching this.
I'm ill even thinking about it. And the comparables that Buffalo is starting the season with in that regard is enough to make me a little queasy here. Quick, get me the Pepto. So it just is one of these things where don't apologize for who you're playing. Don't apologize for how you've necessarily been playing. Just get the win no matter what. Green Bay against Cleveland or
Chargers
and Giants. It just, don't apologize. Finish the job. Take care of business in any way that you have to. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers this year.
No. I'm not giving them credit.
I rolled so hard when I said this.
I'm not giving them credit. That game in Dublin, Ireland was offensive. Perfectly. It was offensive. Fourth and one. Go for it. End the game. Nope, we're going to punt it. Of course you will, Tomlin. Why would you not? Anytime I try to defend him as a good coach,
he
does something like that. And I'm like, bring him to Buffalo in January so they can blow them out like they do every year in the playoffs.
Thank goodness that the Bills have Sean McDermott. Every time I watch Mike Tomlin, that is the sentence I say.
Well, and it's not necessarily like 100% credit to McDermott. McDermott has his own faults. But it is the old school coaching of just so fearful of everything.
Him and Harbaugh. It is
exhausting. John Harbaugh. The fear of your own shadow. It is exhausting. 803-0550, the number to call, talking about fears. Nerves for this Sunday. Where are you at? We've heard mainly from positive people, but Pat does tweet in. No confidence in our DC, Bobby Babich, having the team ready against a very savvy and experienced offensive coordinator. Yes, if you did not realize, Josh McDaniels, OC of the Patriots for the third time in his career. But 17 at home in prime time against a team that is a viable challenger. The offense will be ready to go. This game will be closer than it should be based on the rosters, so the nerves are on edge. I will say, though, Pat, the spread is 8.5.
It's two scores again.
It's two scores, but it's as close as two scores can get. And so, yeah, it probably will be close. Most NFL games are close going into the second half. If the blowouts happen or the stretch happens, it's a little surprising. Or it comes late like the Bills have, where games against Miami and the Saints were close, and then the fourth quarter happened.
They win by 10 and 12 respectively. Am I going to take the Bills to cover? Probably not. I've gotten burned the last 2 weeks. I'm not doing it.
This would be the week to do it, though.
This would be the week to do it, but I'm also going off baseball rules, the vibes playoffs, and I'm not striking out.
Vibes aren't on, are not great on the terms of covering the spread. So, yeah, this will be the week to do it.
I'm not worried about their offensive coordinator. I'm worried about their offensive line coach. You know who that is? Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone. We've got a few people making their returns to Buffalo. We've talked Diggs. We've got the Marrone shout-out. Haven't even mentioned.
Mr. Hollins.
Mac Hollins coming back to Buffalo as well.
Bare feet. Do we get to walk in barefoot?
Oh, 100%.
Even though he's on the Patriots.
We're going to get that video.
They haven't. The Patriots don't even indulge in it.
Really?
Bask in it. Come on. It's like one of the most.
No,
like,
it makes sense. Like it makes sense. It makes sense. Year. The Patriots are just this.
We did it because he did it.
I did.
That was a mistake.
Courageous.
That was a mistake.
Salt never, burns on the sole of my feet.
Never have done that. Courageous.
No, not that. It just started the apparently everyone on WGR seeing their feet. Apparently, Zach, you're next on the schedule.
I'm not giving away my feet picks for free. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that.
Speaking of fears,
not
we do
a
have.
Shot am I doing that for free?
Speaking of fears, when we come back from the break, the Buffalo Sabres played last night. How are you feeling heading into the season there? UPL plays one period, does not go back in due to a little bit of a lower body injury. Four of the six defenders are banged up, so plenty of fears to go through in the last segment here of the Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer, that's Zach Jones, you're listening to WGR.
I was waiting for that. You gotta wait for that. You can't jump into the middle. You gotta wait for that.
So, real quick, Steve tweets in: Bills fans, please have some class and do not boo Steph Diggs on Sunday. But have at it and boo the hell out of Doug Marrone all you want. I cannot say anything more than I could not agree more perfectly on a tweet in my entire life.
I haven't heard a better plan in a long time.
Exactly, like. This, 1,000% this. I'm here for booing the bologna sandwich man. And
so Mac Hollins is getting cheered though, because like he is left alone in like all of this. Like he's gonna get a pop, isn't he?
He's probably gonna get a pop.
He might. On the Sabres real quick, because we've been hinting at it.
I did hint at it.
I do want to mention that they did lose last night's preseason game. It is what it is. Derek, though, you mentioned going into the break, a lot of injuries, namely with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and a lot of the defensemen as well.
All the defensemen. It does seem
one
like
week from today, they play against the Rangers to get their regular season underway.
It does seem like the injuries are relatively minor on the back end. A lot of day-to-days, so to say. But not great to start your year. Kesselring left the game, did not return, for example, though. Mm-hmm. But the Sabres were also playing a majority AHL Scranton team.
Yeah.
And they lost.
I'm fine with it. It's a preseason game. It is what it is.
I know, but it's not encouraging to me, is basically what I have to say.
And the, right. And you'd like, what do they play, six preseason games? You'd like them to be 6-0.
Not necessarily 6-0. The games were like Detroit, in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing your AHL roster and you get smoked.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Perfectly understandable.
It is what it is.
Totally get it. However, the common denominator between that game and this one is Alex Georgiev had to be in net for a majority of it, and it didn't go great.
Nope.
Getting nervous with UPL. He did the Tyler Bass thing where he played some game action and immediately is back on the shelf.
We'll see about that.
Lindy Ruff did say it was precautionary, seemingly.
Which sounds a lot like the defensive injuries as well.
So maybe it is just a precaution thing. You kept him out of it, and maybe he plays again on Friday. But you know who's going to help tell us a little bit more of that story? Brian Duff and Marty Baron on Sabres Live, as that is going to be coming up next here on WGR. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. Have yourself a great week. We're out of here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.